Hello, this is Pastor Tom Pickens of Antelope Valley Christian Center, and you are listening to The Word of Victory.
As believers, we should pray. Turn to someone and say, you should pray, and you should never stop praying. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, you mean that I should pray in 24 hours a day? No, I'm not saying that. When I say you should not stop praying, in other words, you should never give up praying. You should never give up. You should always have hope. When you lose hope, praise God, you're dead. There was a story that was told about this individual that was in the hospital, and he had been in there for a while, and so the doctors, you know, that were around him, they always, you know, gave him positive affirmations. But all of a sudden, this one doctor comes in and he tells him, you know, that you're not going to live. And he says that, as a matter of fact, you know, you'll be dead here pretty soon. You know, you're not going to live. And the thing about it is that up until that time, he was doing fine because he got positive affirmations from everybody that was around him. He was getting better and doing better. How many of you know that when you inject a negative thought, then you're going to get negative results? And so this guy was doing great, and all of a sudden this other doctor comes in and he gives him these words, and the first thing the guy did was lose what? He lost hope. He had no reason to pray anymore. And so his demise was certainly, death, because he did not keep his hope in the Lord. So we're going to talk about the word hope, and then we're going to talk about the word faith. Because somebody said, well, I thought that we're not supposed to hope. Well, the Bible never said that we're not to hope. You should never give a hope. Turn it down a little bit. Trim it a little bit. You should never give up hope. Hope is supernatural. We're not talking about hoping like one day something might happen. That's not what we're talking about. Well, I'm hoping and I'm praying, you know. I'm just hoping and I'm praying, hoping and I'm praying. And that, I believe, has been the extent of our relationship with God in reference to prayer down through the years, amen, that we're just hoping and I'm praying that something might happen, can happen. Maybe there's a pretty, if God just kind of looks on me, you know, kumbaya, Lord, come by here, you know. You know, somebody, you know, and that kind of thing. No, I want to be able to summon God when I need him, and I want to know how to do it, and I want to be effective in summoning God in my life when I need him. I don't want to be, you know, just the one that gets to step in the pool while the ward is being troubled. The story in the Old Testament about, you know, the pool of Siloam, that whenever, you know, the angel of the Lord visited this particular pool once a year and, visited the pool. In other words, his presence was there. And whoever got in the pool, first of all, then they got whatever they needed. If they needed healing, they got healing. But you have to get in there first. Glory to God. Forget everybody else now. You got to get in there first. It's not like that today, y'all. Praise God. You ought to be able to take the word of God in the name of Jesus and summons the power of God in your life. Pray and pray effectively and expect to receive an answer. Not just if you are the first one to get in the pool. Amen. And so it's important for us today to know what prayer is and why should we pray. Let me give you the definition of what prayer is. Prayer is a dialogue. Prayer is a dialogue. Can somebody tell me what a dialogue is? Conversation? Somebody else said speech. But a dialogue is, unless two people are speaking, it's, right? So it is a conversation, right? It is a conversation. So in other words, it's not a one-way something. It's not just going one way. It's going how many ways? It's going two ways. So when you pray, then you should expect God to do what? Come on now, somebody, y'all get an A today if you give me the right answer. If you pray one way, then you ought to expect something coming back to you. So now we have a dialogue going on, amen? Turn to someone and say, you should expect God to answer you when you pray. Now, here's the thing about it. We're not just expecting an answer. We are expecting God to answer us with what, in reference to what we pray for. Because some people, they surmise that, well, once I pray, then I'm just going to leave it up to the Lord. Lord, whatever you want to do. Now, if I get this, you know, then I'll just settle with this. No, a lot of times the devil cheats you out of what you pray for because you are settling. God does not want you to settle. God wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust him. And then when the storms of life and the adversities begin to come against you, God is expecting that you will still trust him and stand on his word and believe his word and get your desires. Amen. Get the desires to your heart. Receive the prayers that you pray for whatever it is. Amen. So prayer is a dialogue. It is a conversation with someone greater than yourself. And so it's not about us. It's about someone greater than ourselves. And God is greater than we are. God is infinite. We are finite. Amen. God is immortal. We are mortal. God is omniscient. He knows, glory to God. He knows everything. We know in part. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. We're not powerful without him. God is omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time. We can only be, we are confined to one geographical location at a time. Amen. So we have to know that when we are praying to someone that's greater than us. Now, here's what I like to think about. You know, because people say, well, are you sure that God can hear you when you pray? Isn't that interesting? I'm definitely sure that God can hear me when I pray. Well, how can God do that? You mean God can listen to all the people all over the globe at the same time and then answer their prayers? Yes. Yes. Oh, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm not kidding you. God has the most sophisticated, intricate, the most detailed, the network system in the whole. Do you think that the web is something that's new? God started the web. God started the network. And guess what? Everybody that's born into this world become a part of that network. God puts their DNA in them, and God can track them wherever they are, all over the globe. At the same time, God has such a sophisticated system that he can dialogue with you, all you and you and everybody all over the world at the same time and answer them specifically, precisely, in detail what they need. As a matter of fact, God knows the intentions of your thought before you even think it. He knows what you mean when you think something. He knows not only what you're thinking, he knows the intention of that thought. That is a great God. That is somebody that is greater than you. And we need to learn to pray and believe that there's someone that's greater than us that can answer our prayers specifically. We don't have to settle for a meanwhile. I tell girls all the time, women all the time, don't you guys settle for just a meanwhile. Lord, I'm believing you. Lord, I'm trusting you. I pray for my Boaz. Oh, don't get in trouble, Tom. I'm trying my best not to. Don't get in trouble. I pray for my Boaz. Oh, la cosona. Hallelujah. I won't go that way, Lord. But I pray for a good man. I pray for him. Well, why are you now settling for less than the best? Because I get cold during the night. Let God warm your behind. I'm sorry, but let God. You don't want a meanwhile. Oh, don't say it. Don't say it. Oh. God, you prayed for your Boaz, and he's out there. God has a Boaz for every woman. Oh, Jesus. He has a Boaz, not the other. Some of y'all won't understand that. You think, but God has a Boaz for you. You need to understand the description of a Boaz. He's a right man, a just man. He's a kind man. He is a loving man. He's a man that provides. God's not going to send you. God's not going to send you something else to take the place of that which you pray for. I call them a meanwhile. Don't settle for a meanwhile. Some women say, well, this is just for the meanwhile. The meanwhile will get you in all kind of trouble. Get you in all kind of trouble. If you, whatever you pray for, then trust God. Trust God to take you through the struggles that you're dealing with in your flesh. Trust God to take you through the struggles that you're dealing with in your mind. God knows what you're going through. He made your body. He knows the images that you're having in your mind. He knows that you want someone to comfort you. He knows that. But let him be that individual. Let God be your spiritual Boaz. Amen. And you know what? Maybe you're not just the women, but the gentlemen also. You know, you're believing God, you know, for a wonderful, wonderful wife in your life. And she is there. Amen. She is there, but you got to trust God through it. You got to trust God to help you deal with your flesh, to help you deal with the images, to help you deal with the struggle that you go through. And God will do it. I know he will, but don't settle for a meanwhile. Just don't do it. Just tell your flesh, you are going to obey God. You're going to live for Jesus. That's all there is to it. I'm going to kill you, flesh. Well, that's what the Bible says. Romans chapter 7, the Bible says, consider, it says, mortify. The word mortify is a derivative of what? Mortician. Okay? Mortify, mortician. Mortify means to kill. It means to put to death. He says, mortify, therefore, the deeds of your body. He didn't say the deeds of your spirit. The deeds of your spirit are righteousness. Because you're a righteous person in Christ Jesus. Your spirit is righteousness. Your spirit wants to do right. Your spirit wants to live right. It's your flesh that gives you trouble. It's your mind that gives you trouble. God knew that you would experience this trouble and this struggle. That's why he tells you in Philippians 4:8, he tells you what to keep your mind on. He tells you what thoughts to think, because he knows that if you think certain thoughts, they will take you captive. Come on now. He tells you, he says, think on these things. My friends, all these different occults and occults, they didn't come up with meditation. God came up with meditation. God already told us what to think on. He told us even that in the Bible, the use of meditation is in the Bible. Meditate on the Lord. So I just started meditating and thinking on the Lord. What I think on, what I meditate on, I chew on over and over and over and over and over again, and I gain victory over it. He told us, he said, think on these things, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Stop thinking on a meanwhile. Just, I'm going to be with him until the real thing comes. Real thing ain't coming. Amen. The real one ain't going to show up. She's not going to show up as long as you're dabbling in a meanwhile. He's not going to show up as long as you're trying to do it yourself. You need to let God. What did you pray for? Then you wait on the Lord. I said, wait on the Lord. Don't settle for anything other than the Boaz. God bring the Boaz. He's done it. Amen? So prayer is the conversation between two people and with someone greater than yourself. Now, prayer is also, and we know this, communication with a supernatural being, evoking his presence in our lives to bring about change. Do you want change in your life? I don't know about you, but I want change in my life. I want to get better and better. I want to keep evolving. I want to be better today than I was yesterday. I want to change. And sometimes we find it difficult to submit ourselves to change. We know that we should change. But we find it difficult to present ourselves to the Lord, because only the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can bring about lasting, sustainable change in your life. But it's going to cost you something. And most of us do not want to pay the price. Our flesh does not want to pay the price. Our ego does not want to pay the price. Our pride does not want to pay the price. I am telling you that the result is worth paying the price. It is worth paying the price. Amen. I want to give you four reasons why we should pray. Four reasons why we should enter into dialogue with the Lord. How many of you do that, you know, in the morning, and in the afternoon, in the evening, whenever you pray? You should. You are a child of God. Amen. You have been born into the kingdom. You have a right to be at the Father's table. Amen. It is often interesting to me as to how many of us really come to the Father's table. How many of us show up at dinner time? How many of us show up to receive from the Father, to be around the Father so that we know what we should ask for at the table and what we should not ask for at the table? Because, see, there are some things that you might want that's not on this table. It's the Father's table. And he's put everything on that that is needed to sustain your life. So whatever you need is at the Father's table. But you have to show up at the Father's table. Amen. And, you know, today we're living in a time where many believers are not showing up at the Father's table. They're not showing up at the Father's house. So they're asking and they're praying for things that are outside of the will of the Father. It's not on the table. It's not been spread. See, he has spread a banqueting table before his children and for his children. Amen. But how are you going to know what's on the table unless you show up? Glory to God. Amen. You show up to find out what's on the table, what's available, what's on the menu, praise God. Whatever you need to sustain this life, he's already said in his word. He said, if I did not spare my son, Jesus Christ, how shall I not along with him freely? You don't have to pay for it. You're a child of God. You're in the family. How shall he not freely give you all, say all, give you all things that pertain to life and to godliness? What do you need this morning? Do you need peace? Show up at the Father's table. Sit at the table, praise God, and just simply say, pass me a bowl of peace. Hallelujah. Hey, it's yours, glory to God. Just pass me a bowl of peace. And what do you need this morning? Do you need healing? Come on, show up at Father's house. And when it's dinner time, just go on over there and sit down at the table. And if you need healing, just say, give me that plate of healing over there. I desire the plate of healing. Guess what? Nobody says it's going to cost you. They just pass. So one of your brothers or your sisters, would you pass? We are family, praise God. Pass me the bowl of healing. Give me the plate over there of joy, glory. I need the saucer of prosperity over there. Would you hand it to me, please? Yeah, you can have it. Do you want seconds? I'll take seconds. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whatever you need, all you've got to do is ask. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is asking. Prayer is making a petition. Prayer is having a dialogue or a conversation with someone greater than you and then expecting them to answer you. This supernatural hope that we have as believers shall never leave us. It shall never be weakened in any way if we continue to trust in God. It is just as powerful as it was the day that God gave it to us. Can you say amen? Why should we pray? Number one, we should pray because when we pray, hope comes. When we pray, hope comes. Hope comes when we pray. When you pray, when you ask for something, guess what happens? It puts you in an attitude of what? Expectancy. Why? Because you pray.
The Word of Victory has been brought to you by Antelope Valley Christian Center, which is pastored by Dr. Tom Pickens. We are located at 304 West Lancaster Boulevard in Lancaster. For more information about Antelope Valley Christian Center, call 661-949-7200 or visit us on the web at avccusa.org.